Hey, you guys. So now I'm confused because
I don't know what they're talking
about. Zach is up there saying, I thought Wednesday was the main show night. And I was like, it is, but yeah, it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
And then, for a second, I was like, did we sleep through a whole day? And it's actually like Wednesday? No, it's Tuesday. Yeah.
He's tripping.
Yeah, we've been doing the main shows like on Wednesday for a while now. Yeah. For a while. Yeah. Yeah, we're doing, actually, the show we're doing tomorrow night is going to be all about different road rage incidents.
Yeah. It'll be good.
I picked like four different ones that we can do that a couple of people have requested. You all right? We keeping you awake?
Sleepy, or?
Yeah. I'm always
good. That worked all day today.
Well, yeah, you put up blinds and
trimming
shit like
hedges
that. Trimming
shit,
hedges and shit like
and shit.
That. But yeah, so.
I fucking repainted the mailbox, put new numbers on it.
Oh, I didn't know you did that. Yeah. I didn't see you out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as we promised.
Oh, I'm going to tell these people.
Last night we watched the third of the Mummy movies, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor from 2008. Yeah. And it wasn't bad. I liked it better than the second one.
Yeah, I thought it rivaled the first movie.
I mean,
it may have been better.
Yeah, it's just kind of like
it was just different. It was China instead of instead of Egypt.
I don't really understand like all the hate it gets. Like in a way, I can understand. You know, the second one maybe inspiring more ire just because, I mean, basically because of the shitty CGI at the end, which, like, there's, you know, I know it was ILM and it's they didn't have a lot of time, but, you know, I can see people, like, shitting on that. But the third one was actually, like, a perfectly good movie, I thought it was, like, pretty enjoyable.
It was as good as the first one.
And I think it fixed some of the things that I complained about in the second one. Because one of the things that kind of bothered me, I liked the second one, too, but one of the main things that bothered me about the second one was that it was too fucking convoluted. It was, like, too much shit going on, and you couldn't really, you know, there was just like all these plot threads and some of them didn't really like resolve themselves. The third one, I liked they just kind of kept it simple, kind of like the first Mummy movie, where it's like, there's still a mummy sort of, but it's in China and it's the same kind of deal. It's, you know, an ancient warlord and he wants to like raise an army and like bring him back from the dead, and he goes around like killing people trying to get his powers back and shit like that. And that was it. That was just like all they didn't have all this stuff about, oh, you have to get this bracelet and this thing and the kid getting kidnapped and all this other kind of stuff. They kind of like kept it like a pretty simple quest. And I like that they did that. And I really like that they use, like, the real angle of, like, the terracotta army, you know, in which was very Indiana Jones, you know what I mean?
We're going to do a show about that.
Well, yeah, I put it in the poll for not, you know, not this week, obviously, but the poll for next week, which posts on Patreon on Friday.
Xie Wan Di's tomb.
Yeah.
The first emperor of China. It's underneath there. They don't want to open it, but they know it's mercury deposits coming out of the soil in the shape of a fucking map of China in there. There's some kind of fucking mechanical lake with moving around mercury, a river of mercury and a fucking water of mercury and shit with paddles and shit.
Yeah, that's what's taking them so long. It's like they do have some of it excavated because I've seen pictures of it, but
oh, they're trying to get down to the main chamber?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I saw
I saw
pictures of it a long time ago. They excavated it from but I've seen like pictures of the inside, so they have done it. But it's just they're trying to get more of it done, as far as I can determine. But it's kind
of
slow going.
They got pictures of inside there now.
I saw pictures of the inside of it like from back in the '70s.
Oh, that's not the same one then. It's not the same one. They won't let them go in there. Last I heard.
I don't know. I haven't, followed it up. But I just remember reading about it and seeing pictures of it, like, in a book that came out back in the 70s.
With the big mercury lake and everything?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't remember the pictures. But I remember seeing pictures of the terracotta warriors.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about it. That's not inside the main complex yet. They thought about possibly drilling through there and sticking a camera in there. And I think maybe they may have gotten part of the way, or they did it partly and saw something. But, you know, they're afraid that oxygen will get in there and fuck with everything.
Well, that's a concern.
Yeah, but they do know that there's mercury deposits coming out of the soil in the shape of the rivers of China. So there's a map
on the floor. Which is pretty cool when you think about it.
Running mercury for water.
Can you imagine how badass that probably looked?
Yeah.
I mean, super poisonous, yeah, but yeah. You know what I mean?
Probably what that mercury vapor did to the inside of that place over the years. Maybe nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know. Depending on the conditions, I guess.
Yeah.
Zach says, is this the one with the hot Asian dude and Michelle Yeoh's sexy ass? Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's got...
That's Jet Li, actually.
It's got an all-star, all-star Chinese cast playing the Chinese characters in it. It's good. I mean, the only thing I could see that maybe people might knock this for is that it wasn't Egypt. And maybe, like, what, pandering to the Chinese government, maybe? Other than that, I mean, I thought it was as good as the first one.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the only thing I didn't really, I mean, I liked Maria Bello in it playing Evie, but I do kind of wish they could have got Rachel Weisz back again, like, to play that character, because it's very obvious that, I mean, she's a good actress, I've seen her in lots of other things, but she was, you know, really not the same character.
Yeah.
It was slightly less fun. It still had humor in it. But it wasn't, like, as fun. And I felt like Brendan Fraser was, like, more... Which, you know, I don't want to, like, call this a criticism of the movie necessarily, because even in the movie's universe, his character and his wife are, like, much older, and they've retired from exploring, and they're kind of getting bored. So that's why they want to go on this big, long adventure again, because they've kind of been stuck, you know. Because, like, the last movie, The Mummy Returns, that took place in 1934, something like that. This one takes place in 1946, like after World War II. So, you know, you can, like, forgive them for not being. And there's actually kind of a practical reason too, because I don't know if you know this, but Brendan Fraser did a great deal of his own stunt work on all of these mummy movies. And by the time this one rolled around, he was fucked up. Basically, he said on this movie, he said I was held together with, like, ice and tape. Yeah. He'd had, like, several back surgeries. He had, like, surgery on his jaw. He was just, like, all fucking messed up. And, I mean, what a fucking trooper, man. Like, he did, but he talked about it later on that it was just, like, I was in fucking constant pain, like, pretty much, like, through this whole entire shoot. So you can see that he's, like, not quite as, like, perky and fun as he was. But he did do, like, a lot of fucking stunts in this, and... You know, man, fair play to him. I kind of feel like maybe he got a little bit shafted. Because this was... I was reading an article earlier that maybe this ruined his career in the sense that it tore his body up so much that he couldn't really do a lot of, like, action roles anymore just when he was kind of, like, getting known for doing that, which is kind of a shame. He's sort of... I think he's kind of making more of a comeback now, like, in sort of, like, dramatic roles now that he's older, but... You know, he probably could have gone a lot farther had his fucking body not got so fucked up, like, doing these movies. But, you know, he wanted to do his own stunts.
I'm not sure I'm buying
it. Too. I'm just...
I mean, you got dudes that last a long time in pro football.
Well, it depends.
A lot more.
It depends on, you know...
Dude should have been roided up.
Shit like that.
Yeah.
Zach says, is Jenny thinking of the one they found with the mummified woman in the inverted pyramid? Who
probably.
Was real... I don't think so. I'm just...
Yeah, they found old. They found an old Chinese queen or princess. She was in a glass coffin in formaldehyde, basically. Just pickled, floating in that shit. She was fucking looking bloated and plump. She was fat when she was alive. She's in her 50s. They did an autopsy on her. She was well-preserved. Did an autopsy on her. She was just riddled with fucking tapeworms.
Tapeworms.
And was still fat. So, because the fucking, you should be losing weight if you had a bunch of tapeworms in you.
Well, maybe she was, like, eating extra to compensate for all of this stuff, the tapeworms. She's like, I just can't get full. I don't know why. Grampther says, I doubt Brendan Fraser could do much stunt work these days except cheeseburger noshing. Yeah, but, you know, like I said, he was kind of all fucked up. And Zach said the same thing happened with Daniel Craig on the Bond movies. That's part of why he left the role, because it was tearing his body all up because of all the stunts and blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Okay, so this one, you know that they were actually going to make a fourth movie after this one, and it was going to be, like, Aztec. You know what I mean? They were going to, like, go explore some Aztec shit, which actually might have been kind of cool. They had everybody back. Like, everybody had, like, signed on, but then they decided, fuck it, we're going to reboot it and do the whole Dark Universe thing, and then they did the Tom Cruise movie, so that was probably a mistake. But honestly, I would have watched, because you could tell in this one too that, you know, Brendan Fraser and Maria Bello, like, you know, the O'Donnells, they were not, they were still the focus of the movie, but the focus was starting to shift toward their son, Alex, who, like I said, was a little kid in Mummy Returns, and now he's, like, a college student. And that's kind of what happens. Like, he's a college student. Well, he's supposed to be a college student, but he's quit college and has gone to Shanghai to find this tomb without telling his parents. And it turns out that Evie's brother, Bontiatis, that's just what we call, we're just calling Bontiatis, because that's just what we know him from Spartacus.
That's a much better role. I mean, he's great in this.
Well, the funny thing I read, because he mostly did like dramatic roles, obviously, but it's
Bontiatis,
just,
that's his,
it's funny because when they asked him to be in the first Mummy, he thought it was like a mistake or something like that, because like, I'm not a comedic actor.
Right.
But having said that, he's got like really good comic time. Like he does like some funny shit, like in some of these movies. So I don't know why he thought that he couldn't do it.
Wanted to throw some money his way. He's good at it. But, but I, you know, I just always know him as fucking Bontiatis. If you guys haven't seen fucking Spartacus, I think he's in the first two. He's in the first two seasons of fucking Spartacus. He just fucking knocks it out of the park. His character is epic. He's like the Roman version of the dude from Breaking Bad, I guess.
I mean, both him and like Lucy Lawless are fucking great. They're like the best fucking. I mean, Spartacus is cool too, but it's like they're interesting because they're like really conniving and evil.
Yeah, him and Lucy Lawless and just random teenage girls having fucking full on threesomes and shit, and it's fucking like explicit.
And they're always
porn. It's soft core porn. It's not hardcore, but it is soft core porn. And they're devious. Well, she there, but there's a reason. This is that's a great series.
I know, I love that series. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, the first... Well, because the first series had Bontiatis, and then, like, the second one was a flashback, was like a prequel.
Right.
And then they were in it, too. Like, showing how they got, how they rose to power or whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, so this one, just much like in kind of, like, I guess the last Indiana Jones movie, you know, where they were... He's kind of, like, passing the torch on to his son. They did the same thing in Indiana Jones, and they were trying to do the same thing here, so I'm kind of feeling like... What they were gonna do if they did a fourth movie, which they were planning on, they had the posters and everything, and they had everybody signed on to do it, all the actors, but then they decided not to do it. But they were gonna take it in that direction where they were slowly phasing out the parent characters and going more into, you know, Alex being, you know, the kind of Indiana Jones stand-in, which, I don't know, that maybe could have worked. Although, I have to say the actor that they had playing Alex in this movie was good, but he's not super charismatic. So I don't know if he could have carried a whole entire movie franchise by himself. Because when you had like the first two Mummy movies that had like Brendan Fraser in the, you know, at the forefront, you know, he's a lot more charismatic and kind of, you know, likable in the same kind of way that, you know, Harrison Ford as Han Solo was. I just kind of feel like maybe they could have got, like, a little more of a charismatic actor to play the son. But he's fine in this. But I kind of feel like if you're going to see a Mummy movie, you kind of want to see Brendan Fraser fighting a mummy. You don't want to see Brendan Fraser's kid fighting a mummy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But... That said, like I said, I thought this was cool. I thought it was cool because it's still technically a mummy. It's still like an ancient curse. It's still kind of a similar vibe, but they kind of had the balls enough to take it in a different direction. So they're just like, we're doing a tomb, but it's in China.
It's got a father-son theme, kind of like kind of like that fucking Last Crusade.
Yeah. Like that's kind of what I was thinking.
You're right.
But so I like that they just kind of said, well, we're going to do similar kind of thing, but we're going to take it a different direction, do like use different mythology. Because honestly, if you brought like as much as I liked Imhotep, you can't bring him back a third time. Because like I said, you know, he got pulled into the underworld at the end of the last of the second one. And it's just kind of like probably be like, oh, we're in Egypt again. Like, you know what I mean?
The story played out.
Yeah, and the only thing that is kind of sucky is that they couldn't bring, like, Ardeth Bay back, because that wouldn't have made any sense. I think they did ask him, because he was kind of, like, something that a lot of people liked about the series. And he said something like, I don't know anything about China. You know what I mean? And it would have been, as much as I would have liked to see him in this, it would have felt kind of, like, shoehorned in, because his, you know, he's, his thing is Egypt. He's supposed to be guarding that shit there. He can't be like off gallivanting around the world. He's got shit to do. So, you know, so as much as I would have liked to have seen this and seen him in this one, you know, it's probably better that he wasn't in this one. So they bring back the brother. He's, you know, he's running a nightclub in Shanghai, which, like I said, that's totally fine. That totally makes sense. And that's how the son ends up there, because he's like, oh, he's staying with his uncle while he's on the down low, like digging up this tomb. And then it so happens that there's this whole plot where they're trying to bring the O'Donnells, the parents, to Shanghai to get this thing, to bring this, you know, this emperor like back to life. And they're going to find Shangri-La and all this other stuff. Now, some people got... It's funny. I was watching a review of this earlier. And I kind of feel like most people's first reaction when they saw that there were Yetis in this was, are you kidding me? Yetis? But then I'm like...
Why not?
Why not? Because, like, there was mummies and fucking scorpion monsters. It's like, oh, nobody said boo about that. Yeah. But the second there's a Yeti, everybody gets all up in arms about it. Come on now.
They're little Zindi warriors.
These are fantasy movies.
Little Zanti warriors and shit.
I mean, even in the first movie, you had, like, you know, you had all kind of, like, fucking, you had a pharaoh guy that could, like, fucking make a big sand thing with his face in it and, like, all this and bring up plagues and shit like that. So everybody's going to quibble about some Yetis? Fuck that. I actually quite liked the Yetis.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
There was one of the strangest, like, fucking gun guy conversations in this.
That was a little weird.
Because you see, it was like a father son thing, fucking arguing over the fucking guns. The old guy's carrying the traditional stuff, like a fucking peacemaker and a fucking 45s and fucking Thompsons, and then the young kids fucking got a Walther P-38 and a fucking Soviet PPS-43, which is, that was a hot fucking sub gun in those days. And it's funny because they're trying to outdo each other, like gun talk, but they can't do that in a movie for a general fucking audience because they wouldn't understand the technical terminology that actually makes a difference between those guns. So they have to make up attributes that didn't really apply to those guns so the audience would understand that there was a difference between a peacemaker. Like he was saying that the difference between a Walther P-38 and a fucking... and the difference between the Walther P-38 and the fucking Colt 45 was not size. Size doesn't matter. It's the endurance. But no mention of that the fucking Walther... that the fucking Browning High Power that the other dude was carrying has twice the so-called endurance of the P-38. Just weird shit, you know what I mean? That gun guys would pick up, but the general audience wouldn't. And then they just... because they couldn't use technical terminology to fucking...
well, because it doesn't...
they wouldn't understand it. So
it doesn't need to be in there anyway. Yeah. It would just be... you know, it's just supposed to be like a funny little scene, like showing, how competitive these two are. Yeah. You don't need all this like nerd kind of stuff in there because,
that's
you
what
know,
it would have been, though.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm just...
it's just kind of funny they had to make up stuff about the guns that kind of really wasn't accurate. But, you know, whatever.
Like I said, it's just like a fantasy movie with Yetis in it.
Right.
They just wanted to show, hey, these two are like super competitive about their gun collections.
I just thought it was fun.
And they just had to find a way to get that across in a way that most people would get it.
Yeah.
And their eyes wouldn't glaze over. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just thought that part was funny.
But honestly, it was like a little bit odd in there. That was kind of like an odd little scene.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that they did kind of establish, though, didn't they, that like that Brendan Fraser's character was kind of like real into like firepower and machines and shit.
Well, they were using guns through the whole thing. He was carrying cross.
No, I mean in the earlier.
Yeah,
movies,
he was carrying cross draw fucking under the arm fucking 1911s and shit. You know what I mean? Which that would have been a fucking awesome rig back in those days. That'd be the equivalent of carrying like a couple of Desert Eagles or something. You know? But you know. And then what was cool is that he busted out the PPS, the PPS-43, which is a Soviet sub gun, out of stamped sheet metal. It's kind of like the predecessor to the AK-47, but it was pistol cartridges, 30-tuck rev. He talked about it, he used it for only about fucking 1 minute, and they never even show a clear photograph of it. All you see is the muzzle blast from it. Which I was like, well, damn, why didn't they showcase it? You talked about how bad it was. Why didn't they showcase it? They didn't, which I thought that was a strange decision, because they showcased other guns, like a Lewis gun and stuff, and let the audience see what it would do, and, you know.
Hugo said, I liked the Yetis, but I didn't like when they scored touchdown. You know what? I wasn't even, like, I guess I wasn't paying close enough attention. I didn't even realize that that little gag was in there until I was watching someone else's review of it, and they pointed it out, and I said, oh, yeah, I didn't even realize, where one of the Yetis, like, picked up one of the bad guys.
There was all kinds of stuff.
And threw him, like, through a thing, and then he made, like a touchdown kind of thing. And it's like I said, I wasn't even, because I'm not a big, like, football person, so that wouldn't have, like, immediately registered with me. But then if you tell me, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I get it now.
There was a bunch of stuff happening in there that people, you had to pay attention to see, like, the undead guys, the skeletons that came out. In the background of one scene, a guy accidentally knocked the other dude's head off.
Well,
and
see, I
tried to put it back on.
I noticed that because I made a little thing. I was like, oh, sorry, Carl.
They were doing stuff in the background and fucking shit up in the background.
But that's consistently, because I kind of feel like there was a lot of, like, little sight gags like that in the first two that they didn't. It was just going on in the background. They didn't really call attention to it. But like I said, I think that's kind of cool that they kind of did that. I think that's why that one soldier, like, the, because, you know, Michelle Yeoh, she brings up the all the dead soldiers from underneath the Great Wall of China, like, to fight against the Terracotta Army. I really liked the special effects in this one. Were, like, much improved. I know this was, like, 7 years later than the second one, so it looks like they got their shit together. And I liked the whole idea of the Emperor coming back and being encased in terracotta, but he's still kind of like a mummy underneath there. And I liked that he was, like, breaking off bits of his face and, like, chucking them at dudes and stuff like that. And then it would kind of, like, come back. And then so he's, like, walking around kind of looking like a terracotta soldier. I thought that was, like, a really cool idea. I will say that one special effect that really didn't hold up was when Jet Li goes into the pool, like the immortality pool or whatever, like in Shangri-La. And then he comes out and there's, like, then three of his heads, and then the heads, like, turn into the dragon. The dragon looked cool.
Yeah.
But the three CGI heads, like the faces that were going in, that looked a little bit.
Yeah.
Meh.
They should have just superimposed real faces there over there. Whatever happened to superimposure? They used to be able to do that.
But see, that's what we were saying before. It's like, it's when you do CGI and you just do, like, a creature, even if it looks kind of shitty, it still looks okay, because it's just a creature. It's not real. If you're trying to make a face that looks like a real person, like Jet Li or The Rock, for example, then it's much harder, and you're going to have, like, some Uncanny Valley action going on. Yeah. So I kind of feel like they could have... I don't know. They didn't really have to use CGI for that, I felt like. They could have just used, like, his actual face, but then, like, you know, copied it, like, a couple times, and then, you know, dragged the fuck out of that. So that was really the only special effect that stood out to me as being maybe, like, a little bit questionable. But other than that, it looked, like, pretty good. And, like I said, it's not... I definitely liked it better than the second one. If we're going outside the franchise, I liked it better than Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
That would be fucking tough.
So, you know what I mean?
They're going to try to make another one. They're making another one.
I'm not averse. I do like the idea. I like, because there's a lot of shit you can do with that, like an archaeologist, because I like archaeology shit. And... if you're not trying to make it, I don't know. I think if they did, because Harrison Ford is, like, old as fuck now, if they did something less like an action movie, or they could still do an action movie, but he's not doing the action, but they can have other people doing the action. But I kind of feel like maybe they should lean more into, like, a mystery or a horror kind of direction.
Well, in the one that they're making now, he goes back in time. He's dealing with the young Indiana Jones. They CGI'd a guy in there to make him like he was in fucking Raiders of the Lost Ark.
See, that's just going to be a whole, like I said, that's going to be a whole, like, Uncanny Valley the movie.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's
not out yet.
I would rather watch old Harrison Ford, like, being grumpy and, like, trying to solve, like, an archaeological mystery while other people jumped around and shit.
Indiana Jones is fine.
No, I'm just saying if they have to make one, I would rather them not.
They shouldn't make it at all.
Yeah. And really, didn't they already do like a series called The Young Indiana Jones Chronicles with
River Phoenix
wasn't he in it?
I don't know. Who cares?
No, I'm just saying I don't remember I thought they already did that.
River Phoenix was in one of the movies as the young Indiana Jones. I don't know if he was in the TV series.
Yeah, maybe I'm thinking of the movie.
Yeah, he was. I think he was in the movie.
Wait, was that Crystal Skull? Was he in the Crystal Skull movie?
No. It was,
Or was it the one with Sean Connery?
It was the one with Sean Connery.
Oh, right, that's right. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's...
What the fuck happened to the Crystal Skull one?
It's around.
It's around.
You said what happened to it, right?
No, I said what happened in it.
That's when they,
I remember...
Shia LaBeouf was fucking...
That's who, okay, that's who I was thinking. It was Shia LaBeouf, that's right. That douche. He just said, I don't know if he's a douche. Is he a douche? Is he? Okay. He just seems douchey. Like, just from looking at his face.
He's a douche.
Like I said, I don't know a lot about, like, celebrities and stuff like that. So I don't usually know.
Guy, I think he walks around, gets in trouble at McDonald's, and gets thrown in jail and shit for yelling and screaming at McDonald's and throwing stuff. He's one of those.
Does he have some kind of, like, mental illness, or did he just do it for.
Crack, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure that doesn't help.
Yeah.
But yeah, so as I said, I don't really understand. It's really weird because if you look on like Rotten Tomatoes, for example, critically, it's weird because this got like largely negative reviews. I think it only has 13% critically, but Roger Ebert actually really liked it. He thought it was like and he liked the first one too. Yeah. But he was like, I think this might be better than the first one. I think I like this one better than the first one. Which, you know, that's fair enough.
It's along the lines of the first
one. Yeah, like I said, and I didn't really get, you know, when we were watching it, I was like, I don't really get why people don't like this movie. I thought it was, like, pretty fun. I thought, like, the mythology was cool. I thought, like, all the special effects looked good. There was, like, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't quite as fun or as funny as the other ones. But I think it made up for it, like, in really cool, you know, visuals. There was some funny shit in it, like the part where Batiatis' ass catches on fire.
Yeah, he goes, slap my ass.
That was pretty funny. The fucking crazy-ass airplane pilot that was, like, driving them up and, like, flying them up in the plane. That dude was funny. But, you know, I get that they couldn't get Rachel Weisz, and that was kind of, like, disappointing. But I'm not going to, like, shit on Maria Bello for that, because she was fine in it. She just didn't seem like the same character. But what are you going to do? That's a completely different woman.
I wasn't really worried about it. I was just watching the movie, you know what I mean? And enjoying it. I don't think the continuity was affected, if you ask me. But then again, you know what I mean? I'm fucking 50-something years old watching these things. They're for teenagers and fucking young kids, I think.
That's for the youth people.
And so they might get butthurt over the fact that the cast changed, that she got replaced. But she couldn't make the movie. You know what I mean? So
I mean, I wasn't butthurt. I kind of wish if they couldn't get her back, then they would have had, I don't know, that they would have had her die, and then, like, it's that many years later, and he remarried, and this is a different woman. That's kind of why, because it's a little weird that it seems like it's supposed to be the same woman, even though it's clearly not the same woman, and she doesn't, like, even act the same. So, that's why. I kind of wish that they would have just, like, written, it's like, oh, she died during a dig in, fuck, somewhere, and then, like, it's, because it was years later, so it's like he conceivably could have remarried. So maybe they should have done
that. Wanted that same character.
I know, but, you know, they couldn't get the same woman, so. Yeah. You planning on watching The Scorpion King? We might get around to it.
It's not high on the priority.
It's not, yeah. I mean, we're kind of like.
If somebody sends it to us, people will watch it.
Oh, just, he's fishing. Yeah. He's fishing for free movies. I don't know. Is it on? It might be on Hulu because I was looking earlier today, and I think all the Mummy movies are on Hulu. Okay. But I'm not really sure. Okay. So I don't know. But like I said, I don't really get the hate for this movie. It's weird because what I was gonna say was Rotten Tomatoes like 13% critical, and I think it was 30% audience. But then if you go to Google users, it's 80% positive. Yeah. So maybe now that like time has passed and people are seeing it just as its own movie and are not expecting it to be one way or the other, or, you know, aren't, like, disappointed because, you know, oh, this is the new thing, and as you would have been back in 2008, oh, I've been wanting to see a new Mummy movie, and that it's not quite what you wanted. So now that it's kind of, like, removed from that context, maybe people can just, like, enjoy it as a movie and not worry about the continuity or anything like that. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe younger people are seeing it now and just be like, what? It's a, you know, it's just a cool movie. Like I said, I really did like the whole, you know, the whole aspect of the terracotta soldiers and stuff. And honestly, I kind of would have liked to seen what they would have done with like an Aztec kind of shit, but they just never got around to making it. It's because, you know, Universal decided they were going to do the Dark Universe thing, and we all see how that went over. Just like a wet fart. you know what I mean? Now, please, somebody tell me. The Tom Cruise mummy from 2017.
That masterpiece.
That masterpiece. Because he's trying to, like, stir some trouble up.
I like it.
you and maybe two or three other people. Wow, no, great. I'm just kidding. I'm sure there's more than that. I didn't hate it. I just didn't think it was that good.
That's a great movie.
But, now, was it supposed to be a sequel to these, or was it a reboot? I've heard, because I heard some people talking about it, they said, no, that was supposed to be a sequel, because some of the shit that was in the Brendan Fraser mummy movies, like the Book of the Dead and stuff, like, looked the same in that. And I was like, I don't remember, hardly a single thing that happened in the Tom Cruise one, so it's like, I didn't remember if that book was in there. So was it supposed to be a sequel?
I don't know. I mean, these studios are run by dorks. They're systems dudes and real nerdy, and they saw what happened with the MCU, and they says, "Oh, well, we can just keep making movies.
We can do that.
It'll just unfold and this and that, like a system. It's like a system, and they got audience members that like systems, but I think MCU burned that out because everybody else tries to do it and it fails."
Well, the thing, too, about Marvel was that they already had tons of shit that they could draw on from years and years of comic books. They already had all these interconnected stories and this superhero meets that superhero. Yeah. So they already had, like, a framework for that.
Right.
Whereas the Universal Monster movies, even though, they made them all at the same and it was the same studio and stuff, but those monsters were all, like, separate.
Separate,
you know, they were
universes.
Separate pocket universes.
And so
much harder to, like, cross them over.
So to try to do what fucking... And the thing is like, look, man, the MCU has played out. That model, people are sick of that. That's just not going to work. The proof is just what I told you. I mean, Aquaman and all that bullshit, they had some okay hits, but they never really could get that to become the MCU. And then, out of nowhere, comes the Joker, which has nothing to... It's a pocket universe fucking movie. It fucking makes $1 billion. And it didn't cost anything to make it. And then the people in their own studios tried to... Oh, don't go see it. Just incels are going to go see it. And they were bad talking that movie in the fucking online press, trying to get people not to see it. And motherfucker blew up. And it's because they didn't like what the movie said. All right. You read, go see the movie and read in between the lines. You'll see exactly why they didn't want you seeing that movie. And then they come out with the Batman, and now they're disappointed in the Batman. It did because it didn't make $1 billion. It made 800,000, I think,
or 800 million.
I mean, it made 800 million, which would still be pretty good. But now they're thinking about, well, we might have to scrap this because it didn't make $1 billion. These dudes are assholes, man.
Don't well, that's them. The thing. Well, you get what to a thing where it's like they expect every movie to make $1 billion. So then it's like it makes $800 million. It's like, oh, that's not good enough.
Right.
Even though $800 million is
that's
pretty good for
money.
Like the 40 bajillionth Batman movie. They mean, you think people would be sick of Batman by now, but no.
You could probably fix an African country with $800 billion.
That's what I mean. And so
these dudes are fucking.
That's what I mean. Like fucking schlubs like me that are like live from paycheck to paycheck, and it's just kind of like, oh, $800 billion is that, or $800 million is suddenly not good enough for you.
Yeah, it's not enough.
For like the 40 billionth Batman movie that people are absolutely still going to see,
and if they and this is the type of it's corruption too. It's all trying to spread money around in between friends, and probably a bunch of fucking laundering and shit going on. Because if you wanted to make another $1 billion, should have just made another fucking Joker movie. Where what does the Joker do after that? You'd have made a lot of money on that.
Although the sequel never makes as much as the second.
People still would have gone to see it.
They would have,
and you would have the same fucking dude, fucking, what's his name, Joaquin Phoenix playing it, and it's still written like a damn masterpiece. You wouldn't even need Batman in it. The Joker does this big fucking caper. But you see, You know, that movie came out, and then fucking just months later, that happened in real life almost. Fucking city started burning, and and it was basically an Antifa riot. And that's really what the Joker was. He's just some fucking crybaby, you know, kind of dude who fucking started a damn Antifa fucking riot, you know? And that's why they didn't want people to go see it, if you ask me. They didn't like that idea. They didn't think that that fucking portrayed their movement well. But it was realistic. That's what it really looked like. That's what it really looks like when you rise up against a man. It really just city's burned. You just steal televisions and shit. You know, destroys the city. And then you got some crybaby walking around. Murderer. But it was a great movie. Fucking the fucking Joker was a damn masterpiece. And that's the kind of movies that came out of old Hollywood. That's the way. I'm talking about those were kind of like the indie films that came out of the old Hollywood type stuff. You know, it was like a Scorsese film or something. It was good. Real good. And they just could have done that again. They could have done Batman in that style and made a lot of money. But you see, then you don't have the merchandising, and you don't have to sell the toy contracts, and it's rated R, so the kids can't see it and shit. If you want to make $1 billion, the movie's got to be rated R.
Zach says, I think the second Uncharted game handled the whole Shangri-La mythos a lot better. I haven't played that game, so I don't really know. But like I said, I just respect that they fucking decided they were going to do something completely different with the thing. As much as I love all the Egypt shit, because I love that, but you can't just keep going back to that well, you know what I mean? People would get bored with it. So, you know, I think they did a good job fucking... It wasn't the same director, it was... he produced it, the guy, Stephen Sommers, the director on the first two Mummy movies. He produced it, but this was actually directed by... What's that dude's name that was fucking... That rapey dude? Oh, Rob Cohen, yeah. The one that did XXX and the first Fast and the Furious, that guy. He was the one that directed this one. And I think he was going to do the fourth one as well, but then they decided not to do it. So, all right. So, are we done talking about the Mummy movie?
Yep.
All right. So, it's Tuesday, which means tomorrow's going to be our big main show.
Going to make something to eat.
And we're going to be talking about road rage.
All right.
On tomorrow evening's show. I have like four different incidents, because a couple people have like recommended ones to me that I'm going to talk about. So we're going to talk about sort of like the four most notorious like road rage incidents. So that should be it's kind of a fun show. It'll probably be depressing too as well, but you know what I mean. So yeah, thanks for hanging out with us today, talking about the Mummy trilogy, and we will see you guys again tomorrow evening.